Welcome, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Welcome to our second time going live here on Facebook. A couple of announcements before we begin this morning's message. For those who would like to give our tithes and offering, we do have online giving. You can go to AdventistGiving.org and can register there and be able to give to directly to our church and even to provide your tithes and offering there as well. We also have, we're working on to be able to have Sabbath school class online. We're working on doing that, so keep us in our prayer as we work out the little details and figure out how to make that happen so that even though we might be home, we can still have Bible study, we can still have sermons able to reach through our home. If you have any prayer requests, please place it a comment and we will pass on the information to our prayer team so that we can pray for one another. These are challenging times, but if we continue to trust in our Lord, God will guide us through every step of the way. Be there for one another, continue to help each other, and we will make it through this these challenging times. God willing, we'll also have more information about things we can do in our time now to help turn things around so the spread of the virus doesn't continue, and also things we can do to kind of strengthen our immune system as well as to maybe do things that can help alleviate some illnesses that we may have. So more information about that later on, but I just wanted to give you the heads up. So before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this amazing opportunity you gave us that even though we're not able to meet at home, at your home in church, we can still have sermons and we can still communicate through phone, through online and various different social media. Guide us, Lord, that in these difficult times, we can still trust upon you to guide us through here. Be with our brothers and sisters, that we can be there for one another in these difficult times to be able to not only pray for one another, but help each other in any way we can. Lead us and guide us, Lord, that even in these times, help us to be creative in finding ways to share the gospel with others so that many can be prepared for your soon return. And guide me as I'll be sharing this morning's message that may be a blessing, not only for myself, Lord, because I also need it, but also for everyone that is listening live and will be listening later on to this recording. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's message is called Be an Overcomer. And so I just wanted, before we dive into the sermon, I want to recapture the story found in Numbers chapter 13. About the 12 spies. Here they're God's people. They have been freed from Egypt. They've been wandering in the wilderness for a while. And they're about to reach the promised land. And God told Moses to gather up 12 leaders, one from each tribe, to represent them and go to the promised land and check out the area that is there, to let them see for themselves what God has prepared for them. And it's also during the time where the grapes are growing. And so Moses asked them to also bring back some of the fruits so they can share with the rest of the group so they can see the amazing things that God has prepared for them. And so these 12 spies go, and when they return, one of them has a very distinct message to share. And we want to read that in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, and it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" So here comes Caleb with confidence, with courage, in knowing that they can go and possess this promised land that God has provided, and understand that they are what God has told them that this land is going to be. It is exactly what God said, filled with amazing fruits and vegetables, ready for them to be able to take possession of the land and enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for them. Unfortunately, not everyone has the same report. If we continue reading in verse 31, it says, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought us up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that is eaten up by the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature." So these were the reports that were given by everyone else, sort of a negative report. They were focusing on the incredible strength that the people that were living there had. They were focusing on the negative aspect and missed what God had told them, the blessing that was going to be there and was there in the promised land. They didn't see that. But Caleb saw something different. And so the question that I have for you is, where did this courage and confidence that Caleb had, where did it come from? Or more importantly, what is it that he knew or remembered that the others had forgotten? And before we answer these questions, let's go back to Jesus. What did Jesus had to overcome? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 to sort of give us a reminder, not only what Jesus overcame, but it's something that we ourselves can overcome as well. In Matthew chapter 4, it's talking about the temptation that Jesus had to go through. After he had been baptized, he had begun his ministry, and here he was taken for 40 days and 40 nights into a wilderness, and there he was tempted by Satan. So let's read beginning in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Matthew. And it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he said and answered, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.' And then the devil taking him up into the holy city and sitteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, and cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me.' In verse 10, and then said Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." What was Satan trying to do to Jesus? Was not just tempting him, but trying to get him to sin by this temptation to lead him to that point. But how did Jesus overcome? Well, for one thing, we have to remember that Jesus was someone that was continually praying to God the Father. We have various examples in Scripture where we find Jesus in communion with his Father. We see him in, for instance, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, right before he was being betrayed, he was praying to his Father and pleading and asking if there is any way that this cup can be taken from me. But at the end, he ended up saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." He had this connection, this interaction that he had with his Father continually, and there was even nights that he was spent speaking to his Father. For instance, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, he would spend the entire night talking to his Father. Instead of sleeping, instead of resting his physical body, he would spend the night with his Father. And it was still refreshing. The end of the night, he still had energy to be able to continue on the day in his ministry. Jesus was continually praying to his Father, so he had a connection with him. What else helped him to be able to overcome the temptation of the Satan and be able to not sin? And it was also by sticking to the Word of God. As we found in Matthew 4:4, it says that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus overcame sin. He overcame evil through prayer and the Word of God. There's a story in 2 Kings, chapter 18, verses 5, speaking about King Hezekiah. He's one of the good kings of Israel. And there's something amazing that what gave him that ability to be a faithful king. And we read that in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5. It says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For that he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. So he's saying that he was someone that stayed faithful to God by keeping the commandments of God. In verse 7 it says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. God blessed Hezekiah for his faithfulness in staying close to the Lord and being faithful and obedient to him. How was he an overcomer? By sticking to the word of God. His trust in God's word came from him having a relationship with God, which came through prayer and Bible study. So how was King Hezekiah an overcomer? Not by his own strength in obeying God's word with his own might and strength and something special about him. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was by having God in him and allowing God to transform and to protect him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we read, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are changed and transformed to a new creature. In other words, we are born again in Christ Jesus. You can read that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. We're all born through our mother as corruptible seed. But through the word of God, we are born again. It says, which liveth and abideth forever. By being born again in Christ Jesus, we're given the opportunity to be a new creature. But this time, not with our own ability and strength that we can somehow reach the kind of righteousness that God is asking, but be able to do it by trusting and obeying God's word, by building a relationship with him that through the love of God, God can help us to have the strength, the ability, the wisdom to be able to resist the temptation of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But for us to be a new creature, the idea here is telling us that we need to be in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change, there's a transformation. The things we were before is no longer valid anymore if we are born again in Christ Jesus. There is power now that we can tap into, you can say, to be able to resist the devil, overcome the sin that it may be in our lives. The battle we face, we also need protection. Because even though Christ might be in us, can transform our lives, the devil can still attack us. And a protection, not only do we have Christ inside of us, but we need protection on the outside. And we find that in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The idea of putting on the armor is not just some parts. So I'm just going to put on the gloves and maybe the helmet. No, it requires the entire armor of God to protect us from the attacks that the devil may have against us. So having God in our lives will transform us, so the bad habits that we have, he can get rid of that, change us into good habits, but still provide protection for us, so that we can overcome the temptation the devil may throw upon us. So we can overcome the sins that may come towards our lives. Each piece of armor we are to wear, it is not physical, nor something we make for ourselves or we can buy at the store. It is given to us from God. With prayer, with the word of God in us, and with the whole armor of God, we will be overcomers. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 2, in chapter 3, to be overcomers. So I'll read some of these verses to give us an idea of what he's saying in terms of overcoming. Each particular church, because chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation are chapters that talk about seven letters that God gives to his churches. And each letter provides various different information. You know, let them know what they're doing right, let them know giving them encouragement, but also let them know things that they're doing that is not correct, and also providing them the tools that they can use to overcome those things, to make changes. And at the end, he lets them know, what we're going to be reading, that things that if they do overcome, if they are obedient to him, they'll receive blessing and reward. The first one is in chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The other one is in verse 11. "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." The other one's in verse 17. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it." The other one is in verse 26, where it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations." The type of rewards and the kind of blessings that we will receive, it's amazing, given to us by God. Not only will we have access to a tree of life, we'll be given a new name, a new character will be established in our lives, but also we'll become rulers with him as well. Continuing chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says that "him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." And the last one is in verse 21, chapter 3 of Revelation. It says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I sat down with my Father in his throne." So Jesus, not only is he requiring of us or asking of us to be overcomers, but he himself was an overcomer for us as well, as an example for us, that if he could do it, he can give us the strength, the power, the ability for us to be overcomers as well in our lives. To overcome sin, to overcome the wickedness in our lives, to overcome evil, it is through the power of Jesus Christ. Romans 12:21, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's no one good but God." Our ability to obey God's law that he's requiring of us as a sign of our obedience to him comes from a deep relationship with him. Not by being legalists and trying in our own efforts and abilities to be obedient to his law, but by loving God through his power, we are able. And to build that relationship, it isn't something that you wake up one day and say, "Oh, I trust in God." It's an ongoing practice of prayer, of Bible study, and putting into practice what God has been teaching us in our lives. Going back to the story of Caleb, how did he have confidence in God that God would help them overcome their enemy and possess the land that God had promised them? First, Caleb had established a deep relationship with God since leaving Egypt. God had shown through them in Egypt the kind of God that he is, a God that will provide them the strength and power to be able to overcome their enemy, but also a God that will protect them and guide them, as God protecting them while the plagues were falling upon Egypt. And the second point is the experience that God had done for him in the past. He knew that God was able to help them in their present state. the experience that we may have in our lives lets us know that God has helped us in the past, the way that he helped us to overcome our problems and the difficulties, to realize that the changes that we have had, that who we were in the past. And if you had a bad temper and now you are calm and it takes so much for you to even get a little bit angry, that's changes that God does in our lives. And that's just one thing. There's so many things that God is able to do in our lives and transform us, that looking back and realize that the changes that God has done for us, the blessings that he has provided in our past, how he has helped us and answered our prayers, should give us confidence and courage that God will help us in what we're dealing with today and what we're dealing with in the future. So that, how did he establish a relationship with God? Caleb, how did he establish a relationship with God? He did it through prayer and through Bible study. Because through understanding the scripture, we get to know who God is, understand his character, how he works, how he tries to reach out to us, we get to know who he is. You know, he does let us know that even in nature, we can find out a little bit about him. But a lot of times we can get lost with the education that we may have, the work that we may be doing, that it requires us to learn all these different things, can deviate us from who God is. But going back to the scripture, it puts us back in line, let us realize who God truly is in our lives, and it helps us to know who he is. It builds that relationship even deeper than ever before. Our prayer that we can communicate to God, let him know our problems and our difficulties, our joys and our excitement, be able to thank him and praise him for what he has done, for who he is a chance for us to communicate to him. As his word is a chance for him to communicate to us. It builds that relationship like never before. It's very similar when we're trying to build a relationship with our family, with friends, with neighbors, with our spouses. It isn't just one day you just wake up and yes, I have a relationship with them. No, it requires some effort. It requires some work. Spending time with them, doing things together, being able to communicate with one another, listening to the other person, and be able to get to know them and have a deeper relationship with them. It's the same with God. So he established a deep relationship with God through prayer and Bible study. And the other is victories that God gave him in the past. Like, for instance, freeing them from the bondage that the Egyptians had towards them. The protection that God gave to Israel during the day as they were going through the wilderness. It was hot, and God provided a pillar of cloud to keep them cool so they won't get burned in the heat of the day. And even provided a pillar of fire during the night so they won't be frozen by the end of the night. They'll be kept protected through heat that God was providing. And even provided them food through manna falling from heaven, even water God provided for them, even shelter as well, even protection. Their clothes were never worn out. They were still in good standing, even after spending so much time there. So seeing how God helped them and guided them through the challenges that they faced leaving Egypt, and the time to get to the promised land, it also gave him confidence and courage that God will help them in what they're dealing with at that current state, as well as what they'll be facing maybe in the future as well. Remembering how God helped him be an overcomer from the trials and tribulations from the past gave Caleb confidence and courage in God. So for us, remembering God's word, just like Caleb, who remembered how God helped them in guided them through the trials that they went through, helped them to face the new challenges ahead that they were facing. We also can have the same confidence as Caleb. When Caleb came back with that good report, he didn't care about the negative aspect. So the enemies were bigger and stronger. He didn't care about that because he knew God will handle that. He understood that God can handle their enemy because God handled their enemies in the past. He only focused on what God told him, and it was the rewards that they were going to receive, the blessing that was going to be given to them as God has promised. So us, we can have that same confidence as Caleb did. By praying and studying deeper God's word and putting into practice what he is teaching us, and remembering how God has helped us overcome our trials and sins in the past, we know that God can help us overcome what we're dealing with today. We will have the courage and confidence to know we can place our trust completely in God to be overcomers now and in the trial and tribulation and challenges to come soon in our lives. Jesus tells us, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," in John 16:33. Though what we face now personally may be hard, frustrating, and challenging, taking the steps now to learn, to trust Him, and allow Him to overcome these evils in our lives will better prepare us for what the future events, as foretold in prophecy of the time of trouble, will be fulfilled soon. It prepares us for when we need to face them. We will have the same, even more courage and confidence than Caleb did. God will help us be overcomers. Overcome the persecution the beast and the false prophet will bring upon us. Overcome the false accusation and the lies that will be given against us. Overcome the betrayals and the deceptions that we'll be facing strongly in our lives in the future. And ultimately overcome sin and eternal death. Right now, we're dealing with challenging times. We have the pandemic going on in the world. But now is the time for us to be relearning, or if we haven't, to learn to trust in God's word, to put in practice His health laws and principles of Christian living, and to proclaim the gospel, the three angels' message, in creative ways. And many people now are home. It is time for us to be creative, people to still provide that message to them. And one of the best ways, even while we're home and not able to interact with people, is by being an example for others and following the example that God wants us in our time now. It is not waiting until the time of trouble comes for us to finally start getting our lives in order. It is time now to start taking it seriously and realizing that God wants us to have the kind of life that He wants us by having a good health diet, by being able to be out in the country and make provisions for ourselves. Because even in times now, it might not be as tough. We can still go and get the food that we need. We can still go to stores and get the supplies that we may need. But it'll come to a time we won't have that. And we've seen it even early when the pandemic was starting to grow, how people panicked. And there was nothing you can find in stores. And if you had nothing at home, then what? Are we not to trust in God and it doesn't matter even if it's Sabbath? If I need to buy something and they have it available on Sabbath to go and buy it? No, it's time to trust God and that He will help us even in times like these. And it builds us the strength and faith in Him and the courage so when times do get rough, when times do get tough, that you can't buy or sell, that you can't even leave your home without being threatened, without being persecuted, we'll have the faith, the confidence, and trust in God that He will provide what He wants, what we need. He tells us in His word that our food and our water will be sure. So it's time now to be preparing to enter that promised land. Are we studying the word of God? Are we focusing more on just being entertained and make sure that we're okay even when these challenging times we're facing? God wants us to prepare. Yes, to prepare for any calamity that may come in our nation. But more importantly, is our spiritual lives, are we preparing for a soon coming? That is what we need to be preparing. Yes, it's important, the other things, but God wants us to be prepared for His soon return. Because the devil is working very diligently to make sure that we do not prepare. So I just want to encourage you that just like Caleb, he had a tremendous confidence in God by remembering how God helped him in the past and knowing that he had a strong relationship with Him. He knew that God will help him in the challenges that he faced and the challenges that will come in the future. We too can have that same confidence beginning today. Let us trust, not just in words, but also in action in Christ Jesus now, and we will be overcomers. Maranatha.